ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वी आर् स्टडियिङ्ग् दि गास्पेल् आफ् श्री रामकृष्ण. देर् इस् ए ब्यूटिफुल् चाप्टर् एड्वैस् टु हौस् होल्डर्स्. जस्ट् टु रिमैण्ड् अवर् सेल्स्, a householder is not necessarily a married person. A householder is one who thinks, I am this body, I am this mind. Anyone, monks or laymen, everybody is a householder, because this is our house and it is not an ordinary house. In the Upanishads, especially in the Chandogya Upanishad as well as in Taittiriya, it is said that this body is the very temple of God. Within every body, there is that Bhagavan in the form of Jivatma. Because of our ignorance, we feel we are not the Atman, but at the same time, we call ourselves as Jivatma. So how to get that knowledge? Kastvam, koham, kuta ayataha, tatvam, tat iha, Chintaya Bhrataha. Who are you? Where from have you come? What's your true nature? Think deeply, O my brother, and then you will become free. This is from the Bhajagovinda Stotram of Sri Adi Shankaracharya. So, last class, we discussed very interesting incident. It was Durga Puja time, because this conversation is going on Sunday, October 22nd, 1882. That is what is called Durga Puja time. And then M went to hear a talk by Keshav Chandra Sen. We have discussed elaborately about Keshav Chandra Sen. He was one of the key members who played a very important role in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. In fact, he was born perhaps for this purpose only. What was it? That he established Brahma Samaj. He had gone through many experiences. Finally, he established his own Navavidhan, a branch of the Brahma Samaj. And coming under the influence of Sri Ramakrishna, he accepted the Divine Mother. He used to even sing along with his followers. And among his followers were Vijay Krishna Goswami, etc. It is all due to the unseen influence of Sri Ramakrishna. Now, why are we discussing about it? Because his establishment of this Navavidhan, a sort of Brahmo Samaj, has become one of the most important instruments of attracting so many devotees to Sri Ramakrishna. So Keshav Chandra Sen, he did not know anything about Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna himself went to where Keshav Chandra Sen used to practice spiritual disciplines along with his followers, and he was introduced. And then, gentlemen, I heard that you love God and you think of God. So I also love God, therefore I want to hear from you about God. But then instead of hearing, he was only uplifting through various talks, songs, parables, etc. Keshav Chandra Sen was what we call bowled over by Sri Ramakrishna's presence, his divine wisdom, his pure innocence, purity of body and heart. Somehow he felt, and then he started visiting as frequently as he could, and then that brought about a sea change in his life. Actually, that was what made Romarola, the French writer who wrote on both Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Vivekananda, marvelous books, almost poetical books, even in English translation, because originally Romarola had written only in French language. This Romarola heard about the great change that came over Keshav Chandra Sen. And we have to remember, Keshav Chandra Sen was endowed with one of the greatest powers by God. He could attract hundreds of people to his talks. So, many young people were attracted by his person, by his personality, by his oratory, and to the spiritual, or rather I would say, divine power in the form of this attraction manifesting through him. And the young Bengal, Sri Ramakrishna used to call them young Bengal, or Englishmen, they were attracted. Now, Divine Mother facilitated Sri Ramakrishna did not go anywhere. He could come to Brahma Samaj and pick up all the best boys who are to be his future monastic disciples as well as lay devotees. And then because of Keshav Chandra Sen, Sri Ramakrishna became known. That was the third phase of Sri Ramakrishna's life. Incidentally, what were the phases until now? Sri Ramakrishna's life at Kamarpukur from his birth until he was brought to Calcutta by his eldest brother Ramkumar. That was the first phase. Second phase was his entrance as a priest into the temple of the Divine Mother at Dakshineswar, and until he completed his sadhanas after 12 or 14 years. That was the second phase. Then, by the will of the Divine Mother, he went and spoke with Keshav Chandra Sen, and Keshav Chandra Sen was instantaneously attracted to him. That was the third phase. And then all these disciples gathered in Sri Ramakrishna's presence. They were helplessly drawn as if by a very fierce current. And then they became devotees, and some of them became monastic disciples. That was the fourth phase. And then Sri Ramakrishna started training the monastic disciples, training the householders, which is a message to the whole world, which we are dealing with now. Advice to householders, including visit to Vidyasagar, etc. And the last phase is, he practiced what is curiously known as Narendra Sadhana, to bring down the mind of future Swami Vivekananda down to our level so that he could be the best instrument for disseminating the message of Sri Ramakrishna all over the world. So, that is what we have to remember here. Keshav Chandra Sen was an extraordinary orator. Thousands of people used to be attracted. And when such occasions as Durga Puja comes, then he used to give special interpretations, spiritual interpretations. And that's why I brought in this subject. So what happened? M went to hear the lecture of Keshav Chandra Sen, and then he gave a very interpretation. I don't know how much M was attracted to it, but he came and narrated the whole thing to Sri Ramakrishna. So, what is the essence of Keshav Chandra Sen's talk? By realizing the Divine Mother within one's heart, one gets Lakshmi, Saraswati, Kartikeya, Ganapati. That is to say, he will be very happy person in this world, successful person in this world, and he will be also a spiritual person, because the Divine Mother grants. This is the sea change Roma Rola noticed in this Keshav Chandra Sen, who at first only followed this Brahma Samaj, that is there mainly the worshippers of formless aspect of God. But under the influence, Keshav Chandra Sen was totally changed. Not that he became a fanatic, he accepted the worship of the Saguna Brahma as well as Nirguna Brahma. So, Sri Ramakrishna listened to the description of what? Description of Keshav Chandra Sen's interpretation of the worship of Mother Durga. Questioning M now and then about the prayers conducted by Keshav. Then, at last, Sri Ramakrishna said to him, "Don't go hither and thither. Come here alone. Those who belong to the inner circle of my devotees will come only here." Now, what's wrong with this interpretation? I discussed a little bit in my last class, but we have to clearly understand. Sri Ramakrishna himself says that there is nothing wrong in that interpretation. In fact, Sri Ramakrishna himself used to sing a song, "What does a devotee of the Divine Mother really lack? He will have both Iha and Sukha, Paraloka. Iha Loka Sukha, Paraloka Sukha. He will have Bhukti and Mukti. He will enjoy in this world. He will also attain liberation by the Mother's grace." But Sri Ramakrishna's message is not merely worshipping Hindu gods and goddesses. His message is to awaken the spiritual side of every religion. Remember, Sri Ramakrishna used to say, "Jato mot, tato pot." As many religions, as many yogas, as many opinions, so many paths. Followed sincerely, striving to one's best capacity, every path leads to God. I gave the a beautiful telling analogy. Suppose there is a huge meeting going on under what we call a shamiana, and it is open on all sides. Anybody can enter into the shamiana and witness what is going on from any side, from the east, west, south, north, from any corner, because it is open. Wherever people are, they can enter it. God is everywhere, and therefore he can be accessed through any path. In fact, even if somebody doesn't know anything about God, he can be accessed. I will talk about it sometime later. But Sri Ramakrishna is not telling that you have to ask the Divine Mother or God only for riches. A true devotee of God never cares for what is available in the world. He says, "Oh Lord, I do not need." Bhagavan Krishna himself promises in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the main source of scripture for understanding the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Many times I told you that the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna is the best commentary, the very essence of Bhagavad Gita explained in simple language by Sri Ramakrishna. Because who can explain Bhagavad Gita? The author was Krishna. And who was Ramakrishna? He who was Rama, he who is Krishna, in this age, he himself is reborn to reinterpret and to make the message spread all over the world, because we have lost the very essence of all religion. That is why, in the name of religion, so many quarrels are there. In fact, the war that is going on everywhere, that is all due to this opinion, religious, mostly it is because of the religion. That is what people think. But truly speaking, it has nothing to do with religion. A narrow interpretation of religion, my God, or the name we prefer in our religion, and the way we dress, the way we sing the hymns, that alone can satisfy God. Nothing could be further from truth. I said just now, it is because of this religious hatred that wars are going on. But I have to correct myself. It is religion is only a lame excuse for people to bring out all the selfishness, all the narrow-mindedness, all the fanaticism that is reigning in the hearts of everybody, between the Christians, between the Muslims, even between the Hindus, who are supposed to be very liberal. Really, Hindus are not that liberal. They know how to use the words, and they give lectures also. But when it comes to practice, that the most narrow-minded people, uncooperative people, full of jealousy, etc. Anyway, This is a side note. What is important is Sri Ramakrishna wants all of us to be good devotees. Who is a good devotee? And that is what every chapter of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna explores, and in crystal clear language. So Sri Ramakrishna says, don't go, because you will hear is interpreted only a person. I just now remembered what Sri Ramakrishna said about Keshav Chandra Sen. He said he wants both the enjoyment of this world as well as spirituality. Genuinely, he was a devotee, but his worldly desires have not gone. And he wants to be the leader of a great congregation. Sri Ramakrishna's eyes are very sharp. They can pierce through the externalities and find out the innermost core, what is happening in everybody's unconscious. Sri Ramakrishna understood. Good man, but he has got both desire, both for worldly happiness, name and fame, as well as longing for God also. Somewhat it is there. So he is not a pure devotee. Sri Ramakrishna wants all of us to be sincere, pure devotees of God. It means we should not think anything, we should not desire anything, we should not speak of anything, we should not think of anything other than God. But we have the freedom to think of God in so many ways. So that is why Sri Ramakrishna said, don't go on like a, what is called religious shopping. You go here, you go there, you go somewhere else, tomorrow somebody wants you. No. So he advised him, so those who belong to my inner circle, they will come only here, because Sri Ramakrishna's message is a pure message of pure devotion, pure spirituality. Now Sri Ramakrishna changed the topic and said, boys like Narendra, Bhavanath and Rakhal are my very intimate disciples. They are not to be thought lightly of. Feed them one day. This is the origin that was the in practice for a long time. Whoever used to attend yajnas, yagas in the ancient times, they were all sumptuously fed. That is why in the Katha Upanishad, we get the mention of Nachiketa's father. His very father's name, or title rather, was Vajasravasa. Sravasa means well known. For what? Vaji means annam. That means what? He was well known for his generously feeding all the people who come to witness their yajnas and yagas. And on a side note, in the previous time, this is what you call harikathas or cinemas or discussions on Mahabharata. They were rarely existent. And that is why when yajnas, yagas, that was their way of worshipping God in the ancient times. Naturally, all religious people will gather there. And they never understand what rituals are going on. So they have trained some special people to narrate the meaning of the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas, the teachings of the Vedas, so that in the form of Amarachitra Katha, beautiful depiction, like Harikatha Bhagavatars in South India, and they will be expounding, but they will be expounding only the teachings of the Vedas. So this is what they used to do. That is how the Puranas, etc., originated. In fact, Puranas, Tantras, everything originated from the Vedas only. Vedic teachings have been understood by different people, and for very ordinary people, these Puranas are mythologies. For a little bit advanced people, Tantras. For even more advanced people, this what we call pure devotional path, especially as a taught by sages like Narada, etc. At least Sri Ramakrishna used to say, follow the teachings of bhakti as expounded, as commentated, as elaborated by Narada. That is why there is a book called Narada Bhakti Sutra. And there is a beautiful commentary both by Swami Bhuteshanandji Maharaj as well as Swami Tyageshanandji Maharaj. So, those who are interested to understand what is Bhakti Yoga, that it will be very helpful for them to read these books. So then, Sri Ramakrishna is talking about Narendra. Feed Narendra, etc. Sri Ramakrishna is telling, feed devotees. When you find some sincere devotees, feed them. Feed them also, not as your friends, but as devotees of God, looking upon them. And they should remind us of God only. So who is a devotee? A devotee is one who reminds us of our higher ideal in life, spiritual life, God, bhakti, jnana, viveka, vairagya, etc. Then Sri Ramakrishna loved Narendra. Why? Because he knew that this very Narendra has been specially sent by the Divine Mother in order to propagate Divine Mother's message, Sri Ramakrishna's message, and finally, we have to say, the Vedanta. Vedanta means, now identify the word Vedanta with Advaita Vedanta. In fact, those people who practice Advaita Vedanta are extremely few, I can assure you. Then, so many people are following, studying Upanishads, etc. That is for intellectual understanding. Intellectually, very satisfying, Advaita. But in practice, what Ramanuja embodied, the path of bhakti, the path of self-surrender, and the path of praying to God like small children, crying to God like small babies, and God will take care of us, and Bhagavan promises, Name bhaktaha pranashyati. I promise this, whoever depends upon me, he will never be destroyed. That means he will always be saved. He will be always rescued, and whatever is necessary, I bring to them, tesham satata yuktanam, bhajatam pritipurvakam, tadami buddhi yogamtam, enamam upayantite. So whoever sincerely loves God, God comes in the form of right understanding, buddhi, viveka buddhi, and he will progress in spiritual life. Now, Narendra was a great devotee of Bhagavan. Remember, from the Saptarshi Mandala, Sri Ramakrishna himself was from Saptarshi Mandala. He brought down as his assistant. Sri Ramakrishna lived the life. Swami Vivekananda lived a little bit, but he was mainly meant for, only for spreading the Sanatana Dharma. That is why the word Sanatana Dharma is very important. We should not even call that the message of the Vedas, because some people will take exception. We have Bible, we have Quran, we have Guru Granth Sahib. Why are you mentioning only these? No, Sanatana Dharma means eternal religion. And this eternal religion is not something which is created by somebody. It is Sanatana. It is beginningless. And every religion is only a manifestation of this Sanatana Dharma. But very few people understood and very clearly not expounded by other religions. There are saints, sages, who did absolutely like our sages, but the orthodox or the common religious teachers don't accept it because it hurts their worldly ambitions. Just I'm giving an example. Who killed, who crucified Jesus Christ? Not the Romans, not the Pilate, but it was the fellow Jews, rabbis or the priests who could not tolerate the influence of Jesus Christ. Even though the Pilate gave them a choice, you can release him on this holy day. Then they refused to listen to him. They rather requested a well-known thief should be released, but not Christ. Anyway, it is all by the will of the Divine Mother, or God or Ishvara, whatever you call it. Sri Ramakrishna cannot praise Narendra highly enough. He is telling to him, haven't you observed his many virtues? He is not only well versed in music, vocal and instrumental, but he is also very learned. Sri Ramakrishna is certifying Narendranath as very learned. Why was he telling about it? Because even today, many people did not understand Swami Vivekananda. Not only they did not understand, they do not even attempt to understand his what is called many-facetedness. Many people consider him as a great patriot. Undoubtedly, he was a great patriot, but he was also the greatest rishi, spiritual, realized soul. And he came with the greatest power. And incidentally, once Ramakrishna, and he had no words to praise Narendranath sufficiently. In the presence of Keshav, comparing him with Keshav, he said, if Keshav is a twinkling star, my Narendra is the full midday sun. If Keshav Chandrasen is a minnow, minnow means a small fish, my Narendra is Rohit. There is a big fish, and that is called Rohita, Lohita, and those who eat fish, they know what it is. It's a big fish. That means Narendra is 1,000 times great. If Keshav Chandra Sen is one petaled lotus, my Naren is 1,000 petaled lotus. And simply Narendra, who was hearing it, he moved away from that place because he himself did not think. Like Hanuman, who was the main messenger. In fact, Ramayana can never be understood without understanding Sri Ramakrishna. Who was the avatara? Rama was the avatara. What was the war? Ravanasura was the greatest devotee of Bhagavan Vishnu, Bhagavan Rama. And he wanted nothing but Rama. He was thinking nothing else, no one else excepting Rama. I have my own curious interpretation. So, Ravanasura was applying, praying, oh Rama, please come and give me liberation. But there was no reply. Then he prayed to the Divine Mother. And Divine Mother gave him an idea. Tesham buddhi yogam tadamyaham. I will give them that idea, how to get God's grace. So you go there and you kidnap Sita Devi, whom Rama loves very much, and then you will get what you want. Of course, we know Ravanasura went, kidnapped Sita and brought to Sri Lanka. Now God himself had to come. Why? Because where there is Mahamaya, where there is Divine Mother, there only God cannot be realized unless there is the grace of Mahamaya. There is a curious story. I might have told you, I do not remember. So this is not in Ramayana or somewhere some local story created, but very beautiful story. Once it seems Narada went to see Sita Devi in Sri Lanka. She was supposed to be there under the Ashoka tree, but she was absent. So he inquired, where did she go suddenly? The attendant said, we don't know. So Ravanasura came and put her in a chariot, and then they went this way. So Narada went and he travelled some distance, and there was a huge building, and Narada did not know what was happening there. So there were no guards, no soldiers, nobody, and then he peeped. There was a big, beautiful hall, and Ravanasura made Sita seated on a golden, beautiful simhasana, a seat. And then he was worshipping her feet, lotus feet, earnestly shedding tears. Oh mother, please be gracious to me. I want to attain liberation. I want to go back to Vaikuntha. Please bestow your grace. Because without your grace, God will not come. Who is Sita? Ishvara himself. Saguna Brahma himself. Anyway, is a beautiful story. Just keep it in mind. So, without the Divine Mother, it is not possible. So, Narendra was destined to spread the message of the Divine Mother. And she has given him that power because beautiful form, beautiful brain, beautiful fate, beautiful throat, beautiful mouth, beautiful throat, beautiful heart. What does it mean? Means that he was only destined to preach the message of the Divine Mother. When we say Sri Ramakrishna's message, we have to understand the message of the Sanatana Dharma, and that is the only thing. Every other religion comes and goes. So, that is called, he was destined. That is called the forehead. But God has given him Tesham Buddhi Yogam Tadamyaham. And Divine Mother has given sufficient intellect for Swami Vivekananda to digest. And then Divine Mother had given him beautiful mouth. That means beautiful diction, beautiful words, beautiful everything. So that the message that comes from his mouth should be in the most beautiful words, like sweet Ganga flowing from the feet of Bhagavan Vishnu, then Bhagavan Shiva, etc. Throat means beautiful voice. Where whoever heard Swami Vivekananda even speak what you call ordinary shop, he will be mesmerized. It is a mesmerizing voice. Surely you must have noticed that there are so many speakers on the YouTube. Some people's voice is a mesmerizing voice. It simply attracts people. They cannot help. Voice is so powerful, very clear. Every syllable comes out crystal clearly and in the best words, through the most appropriate words and in the sweetest voice and crystal clear, so that those who are further away, farthest away, can hear it as if, some people compared Swamiji's voice to a bass musical instrument. Every note can be clearly heard by the farthest person. That purity of voice, that is what this throat really means. And then the heart. He was not speaking through intellect. He himself experienced it. Ramakrishna made him experience not only the highest truth, but Ramakrishna made him go through every other discipline, including atheism, skepticism. Why? Because there are people, every atheist is not a fool. They are very sincere, but they do not see how they can think about God. In fact, Swamiji himself said, "I don't believe in God." Later on, not only Swamiji, but several direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna told them, there is a stage in spiritual struggle where people really feel that God doesn't exist. But that is a stage, one passes very quickly by the grace of God, but it is a very painful state in spiritual endeavor, in the spiritual path. So Swamiji was endowed beautiful intellect, and he was destined only for that purpose. And the words he could formulate, simple, very short, but sweetest, purest, nobody can misunderstand. And the voice was the most attractive voice, and he himself had experienced, and he never said a single thing without himself realizing what he was speaking. That is why when he thundered at the Parliament of Religions, Vedahametam Purusham Mahantam Aditya Varnam Tamasaha Parastat Tameva Viditva Atimrutyumeti Na Anya Pantha Vidyate Ayanaya. That same ancient rishi is re-echoing what he had preached after realization, what came out of his mouth after realization, thousands of years back. And the same phenomena will happen again and again. This is what Sri Ramakrishna means. Very learned means there are very learned professors, pandits, not like that. But a person who knows what he is talking about. And then Sri Ramakrishna further adds, besides, he has controlled his passions and declares he will lead a celibate life. This is what we were talking about, brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means only continuously dwelling in God. Now we are entering another topic, which also we discussed in the very first chapter, that is M's visit to Sri Ramakrishna. This topic is on meditation on form and formless. Sri Ramakrishna is now inquiring M, how are you getting along with your meditation nowadays? What aspect of God appeals to your mind, with form or without form? And this question was put and was discussed by Sri Ramakrishna several times. This is not the first time. Why? Because there is a problem with many of us. We have no idea what God is with form, what God with formless God, aspect of God is. We have very little idea. And M also had very little idea. So how are you getting along with your meditation nowadays? And then M was replying, sir, now I cannot fix my mind on God with form. On the other hand, I cannot concentrate steadily on God without form. There is a beautiful saying in Telugu language. There is a person, he cannot jump even 1 foot and he is aspiring to jump to heaven. How is it possible? And there is also, if you remember, a beautiful Bengali song. Amar pran bujeche man bujena durbe shashi vaman hoye. My heart understands, but my mind doesn't understand that being a dwarf, I would like to catch hold of the moon. What to speak of a dwarf? Even there are people who are 7.5 feet. Do you think they will catch the moon? Durbe shashi, but my mind never understands it. Why? Because it is possible. How is it possible? I cannot jump to through the moon, but the moon can come to me. If I cannot go to God, God can come down to me. In fact, God has come down. God only does come down. It's very marvelous. I think there is a story by Tulasidasa. That is what I heard, but I have to verify it. Especially in his probably Vinaya Patrika or one of his works. Tulasidas was having a conversation with Lord Vishnu. And Tulasidas was telling, Lord, there is a long distance between where you live and where we live. How do you think we are going, anybody can reach you? Have you ever thought about it? As if Vishnu did not think about that subject. Says Tulasi, oh, what a marvelous idea. Thank you for this beautiful thought. Yes, you have put a new thought in my head. It is true. It is a long distance and there is no way any devotee can come to me. So what's your suggestion, Tulasi? And Tulasi says, Lord, all that you need to do is you just create one ladder and throw it down from heaven to earth. And anybody who wants to come to you, it will be easier for him. They can come to you. Oh, it's a marvelous idea. And then anything else, Tulasi? Yes, yes. Lord, you know, how long will be the ladder? How many people will be able to climb? Even they can't climb to the first floor, not to speak of Vaikuntha. That is true. This thought never occurred to me. So what do you suggest? Then Tulasi, as if he thought about it deeply about the subject, Lord, why don't you do one thing? So instead of each one of us trying to climb to you and many of us cannot, why don't you come down? If you come down, then every one of us will be spared the trouble of climbing, and everybody will be highly pleased. Please do that. Oh, what a marvelous idea. Oh, Tulasi, I cannot thank you enough. Oh, Google Chat, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you very much. Yes, I will do that. And as if God got some bright idea into his dull head, and immediately he decided that I will come down. And that is how God comes down as an avatara in every age. And that is how people can access him, his teachings, and go. So this is the condition of all of us. So how can puny human beings with the smallest intellect and that too beset with so many temptations and other things ever fix their mind upon God even with form? So M was honestly replying. Previously, unhesitatingly he declared, I am a devotee of the formless aspect of God. And he argued also with Sri Ramakrishna. Same argument is going to come here also. So how can God, Sri Ramakrishna's reply was, God can be with form, without form, is beyond both form as well as formlessness. The core ideas of Sri Ramakrishna were given in the very first chapter of the Gospel. So the same topic is being reiterated as it were. So hearing M, that I cannot fix my mind on God with form. A person who is incapable of thinking of God with form, how can he concentrate upon God without form? What idea is got about form, without formlessness of God, Master? Now you see that the mind cannot be fixed all of a sudden on the formless aspect of God. In other words, Sri Ramakrishna is telling, first prepare your mind with full concentration, how you can think about God with form. That is why he says, Sri Ramakrishna continues, it's wise to think of God with form during the primary stages. Even then, how many people can think about God even with form? So, a little bit of discussion is here. Vedanta teaches that the ultimate spiritual reality is self-existent and self-effulgent. It transcends all names and forms, but can take every form for the sake of his devotees. Ramakrishna compares the formless reality to the waters of the ocean, and God with form to blocks of ice in that water. Just as water freezes at places in the ocean due to intense cold, so the formless spiritual reality assumes various divine forms due to the cooling influence of the devotee's love. The formless aspect of God, unfortunately, may seem intellectually more satisfying than God with form. If you remember, this was the question put, I think, by the one Maharaja in Rajasthan, probably of Jaipur, or I do not remember. Why do we have to worship idols? Same question that M had put also. And you also perhaps remember that severe lesson which was taught by Swamiji during his wandering days before he went to America, in the incident where he said, whose painting was that? My grandfather. You spit upon it, O minister, in the hearing of everybody, he says. You please remember that. So there are many people, the question comes, these are all our imaginations. God with forms is anthropomorphic. That means human-like. Human beings can imagine God only as human-like. Ants can imagine God as ant's biggest ant. A cow can imagine God only like a huge cow, a bull like a huge bull, a dog, probably a bulldog, or Saint Bernard, I don't know. There are also different dogs. Saint Bernard's puppy may think of it as the biggest Saint Bernard. And there are so many varieties. An Alsatian can think God as the most fierce Alsatian, etc. So, every prani thinks of God directly or indirectly in their own form, because in our mind, our identity is like this. Why are we forced to think of God? Because we are body conscious and we are swayed by desires of the body and mind. We will find the way of devotion to a divine form more suitable, more beneficial than the way of knowledge involving the formless God. Sri Krishna also clears the doubt of Arjuna. Bhakti Yoga versus Karma Yoga versus Jnana Yoga. Especially Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Which is best? This is the topic in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And then Bhagavan, having said both the paths, brings a sincere devotee, to me alone. But then he says, Klesho Adhikatarastesham. So, he who has got body consciousness, for him, it's very difficult to think of me as without any form. Therefore, the easier path for a person will be only think of me with form. But even though we think of God with form, we never think he's a human being. A God with four hands, very common figures we get, indicates the truth of God as the creator, as the maintainer, and as the destroyer. So, Srishti Sthiti Vinashanam Shakti Bhute Sanatani Gunashraye Gunamayi Narayani Namostute. And then Krishna also continues. Those who concentrate all their actions to me, regarding me as the supreme goal, and he who worships me, meditating on me, with a single-minded concentration, to them whose minds are thus absorbed in me, verily I become before long a savior from the death-fraught ocean of the world. Avyakta sakta chetasam. For those who are interested in the formless aspect, avyakta means unmanifest, impossible. It has to come to us only as an intellectual idea. But then I have to clarify one point. Whether we think of God with form or with formlessness, both are ideas in our mind. Both are vrittis, pratyayas, in our mind. And whatever thought arises in our mind is nothing but limited by the mind. Limitations of the mind are three. Desha, kala, vastu. Time, space, and object limitations are there. Even when we think of formlessness, it is only limited. So, something very vast. That's all. A ocean. Is the ocean all-pervading? No. Is the sky, space, all-pervading? Yes, almost. But not really, because any product cannot be infinite. Only the original cause called Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. Everything else is Santam, Sa, Antam, finite only. So, compared to everything else, the space is the almost limitless, but it is still limited from the viewpoint of Parameshwara. What is it? I am trying to tell you, it is not possible to think of formlessness. We can become one with formlessness, but we cannot think about formlessness. We can become Brahman, but we cannot think about Brahman, much less talk about Brahman. That's why Sri Ramakrishna says, everything is polluted in this world. Brahman alone remains unpolluted. And we have to understand in this context, even that word Brahman is only limited because it has come out polluted, coming out of our own mouths. And then probably M did not understand this point. And sometimes I feel, M was a great soul. Did he not understand? Probably he understood. But for our sake, the Divine Mother was making him ask this question of Sri Ramakrishna. M, do you mean to suggest that one should meditate on clay images? Master, why clay? These images are the embodiments of consciousness. Even so, one must think of hands, feet, and other parts of the body. But again, I realize that the mind cannot be concentrated unless one meditates in the beginning on God with form. You also told me so. Well, God can easily assume different forms. That's what you told me. Addressing Sri Ramakrishna is what M said. And then we have to discuss this point. There are very beautiful topics are there. In fact, I wanted to discuss about one stotram is there, where the author, we don't know whether it was Shankaracharya or some people attributed to Vyasadeva, says, "O Lord, I know that you are everywhere, but still I went on a pilgrimage. I know you are beyond words and beyond thoughts. Still, I hymned you, I praised you with words. And I know that excepting you, there is nobody. And still, I closed my eyes and meditated on you in my heart. So please forgive me for these three lapses." This is the subject which we will take up in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayosritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.